Blog Talk Radio.
To follow Jesus, haven't you? Praise God. This is a wonderful day. Hallelujah. That truly the Lord allowed us to see. And it's a blessing just to be able to be in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to be talking about shifting into high gear. Hallelujah. How many's tired of being stuck in neutral? Hallelujah. It's just like going out and getting your car. Praise God. You can rev the gas up all you want. Praise God. But until you shift that gear, you're not going anywhere if you're stuck in neutral. Praise God. We choose to shift it to high gear tonight. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to be talking about, shifting into high gear. Glory. Hallelujah. Makes me excited to know that I can shift to high gear. It's up to me. I am in control of the controllers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's not somebody else controlling it for me. Glory to God, but it's me. Hallelujah. And I have that choice. And what a wonderful choice that is. glory, hallelujah, to be able to choose. Let's pray tonight before we get into the word. Hallelujah. I want to thank the Lord first for this privilege to be able to come together with you tonight and be able to talk about the word of God. Praise God. When I begin to talk about God's word, just something begins to stir on the inside. Hallelujah. And so many times I try to teach, praise God, but it's so hard because I'm so excited on the inside, because I know where the Lord has brought me from. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, he's brought me from a mighty long way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was a thief. I was a liar. You name it, I did it. Glory to God. If it had not have been for the grace of God, I'd be in hell right now or prison somewhere. Because three times I tried to take my life, and I don't know why I'm sharing that with you. That's not part of the message, but that is what the Lord has put on my mind. And I'm telling you, I'm going to go with whatever God gives me to go. Hallelujah, because somebody right now that's hearing this word of God, you're struggling with taking your very life. Praise God, you've said, I cannot take any more. But I'm telling you right now, hallelujah, Jesus will come to your rescue. He is no respecter of person. He has spared my life, hallelujah, and he'll do the very same for you. He is no respecter of person. Praise God. And I'm here to tell you, you haven't done too much. No matter what you've done right now, you've not done too much. Praise God. But the Lord is right there for you. And he will bring you out, and he will give you a new outlook on life if you just turn to him. Praise God, and ask him to help you. Praise God. Let's pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, you see that one that's listening right now that's even contemplating suicide. I bind that spirit that's been tormenting them all day, Lord, because you have a great purpose and you have a great plan for their life, just like you had for mine. Lord, when I felt like there was no hope, you came and you gave me hope. Just when I felt like there was no love in my life, you came and you gave me that love that I was seeking for all along. And I looked for it in drugs and in alcohol and in men and in everything and physical things and, praise God, things of this natural, but nothing could fulfill that desire that I was longing for, because it was the relationship with you, praise God, that brought that true love into my life. And Lord, exactly what you've done for me, how you spared me and gave me another opportunity. You gave me another day, and you brought me through the darkest hours of my life, and you've never left me nor forsake me. And I'm asking you to touch her right now. Even touch her right now, Lord. Minister. Have your way, Lord, in every area. God, I thank you right now for what you're doing. Lord, lead and guide and direct her, and give her strength, Lord. God, show her, Lord. Hallelujah, that things can change because you will give her a new outlook on life, and she's not to base her happiness or on anybody or anything, because everything in this world lets us down. But you are only the true thing in our life, and we can count on you. And God, I'm asking you to minister right now to her. God, have your way, God, even in this message tonight, to touch every ear that's going to hear. Minister to them, Lord. Save, deliver, and set free. Have your way within your people's life, Lord. Lord, there's so many right now. The word said multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And Lord, I'm asking you to minister to each and every one of them tonight. Let them see that there's hope. And Lord, that you will be right there for them, and that you will bring them forth. Lord, have your way, Lord. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, and I give you all the glory. Touch each and every one that's going to hear this word tonight. And Lord, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that everything's going to go smooth, that there's not going to be any interruptions or any breakdown in equipment, but Lord, that everything is going to go smooth. And God, you're going to have your way in this message tonight, Lord. God, as we begin to shift into high gear, Lord, I thank you because you have higher heights and deeper depths, Lord, that we can receive if we'll only but hold on and weather the storm. Praise God, the message last night was look beyond the storm into the new spiritual territory that you have for us tonight. And Lord, I praise you. Lord God, bless the people, Lord. Bless every ear that's going to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. God, I thank you for this opportunity. I'm so blessed to be able to speak about your word, about your love and your mercy and your grace that's been sufficient down through my life. When the times that I couldn't make it, you was there to pick me up and carry me through, and I made it. And I thank you for that, Lord, and I praise you, and I give you all the glory. Lord, have your way. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to go to James chapter 4. Verse 7 and 8. Hallelujah. Glory. I don't know what's going on with the phone, but I hear a man's voice in the background. Praise God that God's word is going forth tonight. There ain't no devil in hell going to stop it tonight. Hallelujah. Because God has a word to say to his people, and that word is coming forth. We're going to stand in agreement. Hallelujah. Glory to God that we all are going to shift high into another gear. Glory to God, because now is the time to do it. And I'll tell you what I found out within my life. Sometimes I had to stomp my feet and put that devil under my feet. Hallelujah, because he don't belong tormenting a child of God, because we got power and we got authority over him. All we got to do is use what we got. Hallelujah. I found sometimes myself I had to shake them things off glory to God, that would try to attach themselves to me, and glory, but I was determined that I was going to go forth in the Lord and not let nothing stop or hinder me. Praise God, there was times, just even like now, that I have to draw close to the Lord, that I have to resist the devil. Praise God, because when I submit myself unto God and resist the devil, he has to flee. He can't hang around. Glory, he's got to go. Praise God. But the scripture in James 4 tonight, verse 7 and 8, submit yourselves to God, therefore resist the devil, and he will flee. Hallelujah, he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner. Purify ye heart, ye double-minded. Glory to God. 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that somebody is there, and he is there for you? Hallelujah. No matter what time, day or night, praise God, if you need somebody to talk to, the Lord is there. He wants to be your best friend. Hallelujah. He said he would stick closer than a father, mother, brother, or sister. He won't let you down, but he'll be right there for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He is there for you and I. Glory to God. So we've got to submit ourselves to God and to the authorities of God that God has ordained for us to be under. Jesus was able to live his life, listen to this, hallelujah, 100% in obedience to God, and win the ultimate victory over Satan. Why? Because of another important strategy here. Praise God, that was used. He was totally submitted unto God. And what a perfect example to us tonight. Hallelujah. How Jesus himself, praise God, was totally surrendered unto his Father. Praise God, he was obedient in every area. Hallelujah. When it come to hard things, he said, not in my will, but thine will be done. Are you ready to do that tonight? Do you want to shift it up another gear? Glory, I'm ready to go into high gear tonight. Hallelujah, I feel the presence of God in such a mighty way. And I pray that God lets you feel the same spirit that's right here with me in this room that I'm in. Glory to God that his spirit will flow right there wherever you are, no matter whatever part of the world you're in. The spirit of God can flow right there where you are. Glory to God. So often we have quoted only the last part of that verse, and I've heard it so many times myself, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is in the scripture, but look before that what it says. Glory to God, we have overlooked the real key to the power. We must first be willing to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to God before we can resist the devil. He ain't going to flee if we're doing our own thing, but he's going to hang around and torment you some more. But when you submit yourself unto the Lord, resist the devil, then he has to flee. Satan has run over a lot of Christians today because they have not submitted themselves to God. There is a real need in the church for Christians to understand why submission, what submission really means. Most Christians do not even have the faintest idea what it means to be submitted to God through obedience to the structure of the church. Hallelujah. And to the place God has put in their families. As a result, they have walked in rebellion against God and have lived defeated life. Did you hear that? They have lived defeated life because they have not submitted themselves unto God. Hallelujah. And if you're not submitted unto God, I'm getting ready to tell you some things right here that you might not even know. And in 1 Samuel 15 and 23, you can find this. Many Christians today have failed to submit to God and following his own self-will. And when we follow our own self-will, we are in rebellion. And rebellion is sin. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And that is in 1 Samuel 15:23. If you want to look it up, I encourage you, when anybody's on, praise God, this radio or anywhere you hear the word of God, get you a pen and paper. Hallelujah. Write down the scriptures. Praise God and study them out for yourself, because it is very important that you know this word for yourself. These are two words which help us to understand what submission means. The word subjection is translated from the Greek word, I'll have to spell it because I am no good on pronouncing it. It's H-U-P-O-T-A-S-S-O, which is primarily a military thing, training word, to rank under, to subject oneself to obedience, to subject to. So that means we have got to totally submit ourselves. They are required to be subjected to and obey their sergeant. And we're talking about in the rank of the military. And it all relates even in the spiritual realm. In the large corporations, there are employees who are subject to a department supervisor and are required to submit to the authority of the department supervisor in government, in churches, and in other organizations. There is a line of authority which must be submitted themselves unto. The word submit means to yield oneself to the authority or will to others. Just like we've got to submit ourselves unto God, we've got to yield ourselves, because He does not make you do anything that you don't want to do. You have got to be willing to say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." Glory to God. Before Jesus could become obedient to God's will, it was necessary for him to humble himself and submit himself to God. Now, think about that. If Jesus had to submit and humble himself to God, how much more do we need to? Because Jesus lived a complete sinless life. Jesus was equal with God. He surpassed the same glory, the same power, the same authority. He empowered himself only that the glory, the power, and the authority, and willingly submitted, yielding himself to the authority of God's will. And we know that God had a plan. Praise God, and it had to be a perfect sacrifice for you and I. And we all know what Jesus did on Calvary. Hallelujah. Think about that. If he had not, there would have been no hope for you and I. Praise God. God is a God of purpose, plan, design. Praise God, and activity. Praise God, before the foundation of the earth, God knew that man would rebel and sin against him. He brought man back into fellowship with him, bringing them into a new position as his son. Think about that. He planned to send Jesus to give his life as a sacrifice for men's sins. He planned for Jesus to suffer and die on the cross. Jesus submitted, yielded himself to God's will. He did not question it, because he knew it was not necessary, because he was willing to suffer and die. He did not offer or estimate a solution or to follow some other way. For him, he suffered and died. He did not offer an alternate or substitute, but he followed it. His own will, submitted himself to God's will. He yielded his own will. And as subject to God's authority, Jesus' life was a life of submission to the Father, as God reveals his will to him. Jesus submitted and obeyed. It was this powerful ingredient in his life that enabled him to walk in 100% obedience to God. Although he was the Son of God, Jesus learned obedience. He not only submitted himself to God, but he also submitted himself to the authority of God's place over him. At a young age of 12, Jesus already had God's will, the revelation that he revealed to him. Jesus knew that he had been anointed and sent by God to fulfill a divine commission. He knew who he was, and he knew that he was ready to begin the work. Think about that. At 12 years old, he was ready to begin the work and to do whatever it took to get the job done. And we look, Jesus was persecuted on every hand. Praise God, we can only see Jesus as a young boy, God having revealed to him. Praise God that he was the promised Messiah, the one who had been sent from God to preach deliverance to the captive, to heal the sick, to cleanse man from their sin. As he sat among the great robbers and teachers of the law, absorbing every word, eagerly asking them questions. Praise God, we can go back and in the Word where Jesus, they was confounded at the questions he was asking them, even at 12 years old. Think about that. Hallelujah. How important is it for us to know the Word of God? Praise God, they was questioned, the great teachers, that they was stunned at the questions that he was asking them, even at this young age that he began his ministry when he was 12 years old. Praise God, he was going about doing his Father's business. How many of us today, even grown-ups, are we willing to go forth and do the works of the Lord? Praise God, are we willing to submit ourselves unto God? Are we willing to yield to the authority and become submissive to whatever the Lord would have us to do? We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. And I want you to think about it for a minute. If you're born again, you're no more your own, but you've been bought with a price. And the Word said, therefore, we're to glorify God. And for this cause was we created, to glorify the Lord. We know that all was born in sin. In sin did our mothers conceive us. So therefore, we was in need of a Savior. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Glory to God, J-E-S-U-S. At that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. Hallelujah. So I want to do whatever the Lord would have me to do. I want to go forth and preach deliverance to the captive. Praise God, and Jesus has given his people power and authority. Hallelujah, that through him sicknesses is healed. Men are set free and delivers, and demons flee and tremble at the presence of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you willing to shift into high gear? Are you willing to get out there and go forth? Even you that have been working and toiling and doing what the Lord has gave you to do so far, hallelujah, it's time to shift into a new gear. It's time to shift into high, hallelujah, because the Lord has more plans in store for you. Praise God, because Jesus is looking for a people that will submit themselves unto Him, that will obey Him no matter what it takes. Praise God, to get the job done, we've got to be willing to go forth, listen to the voice of the Lord, and to see what He is revealing to you and I, because how many knows that God is still speaking? He has not changed. Praise God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He don't change. Glory to God. Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem there those 3 days when He was 12, and Mary and Joseph, when they found out, they had went a while because they thought they was among His kinsmen, and when they went to look for Him, they couldn't find Him. So they had to go back, and you know where they found Him? In the temple, sitting among the elders and the teachers. And when they saw Him, they was amazed. Read Luke 10:41-52. Mary was so glad to see that He was all right. She ran to Him and put her arms around Him, and she said, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I did sought for thee sorrowing." And that is in Luke 2:48. Is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Think about that. That was Jesus' reply, 12 years old. Hallelujah. If somebody was looking for you today, what would you say? I've been about my father's business, or I've been going forth doing my own thing? Think about that. Hallelujah. He could not understand why Mary and Joseph was looking for Him. Didn't they know who He was? He was there doing what His father had called Him to do. But still yet, He came under their submission, and He went with them. They did not understand. And in Luke 2:50-52, and they did not understand the saying which He spoke unto them, and He went with them and came to Nazareth, and He was subject unto them because His mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Jesus knew who He was, knowing He was the Son of God, knowing He had a divine commission. He submitted Himself to the authority that God had placed over Him. And we have authority that God has placed over us, whether it be pastors or whoever that God has placed you under to learn. Praise God, you've got to be obedient. Praise God, as long as it don't interfere with the obedience and what God has commissioned you to do. You must yield just as he yielded his will to his parents. And he learned obedience. Can you picture Jesus, the Son of God, as a young boy working as a, and Joseph as a carpenter? In his heart, he knew he was and what he had been called to do. He did not question and he did not rebel against Joseph. He continuously submitted himself and was obedient unto him. We can imagine Jesus, the Son of God, as a young boy, submitted himself to Mary, helping his mother with household duties. He did not rebel. He was in obedience in all things. At the young age of 12, although he knew he was the Son of God, Jesus remained in subject under the authority of Mary and Joseph. And it was not until his 18th year later that he began to publicly ministry, his public ministry, through years are often called the years of the observity. And when he knew very little of what transpired in Jesus' life, we don't know much about that during that time. However, there is one thing we know: Jesus was willing to submit himself and was obedient to Mary and Joseph. Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge and increased with favor with God and man. God was pleased because Jesus submitted himself unto the authority that God had placed over him. And that's why it is so important when God has placed you in a church that you be obedient unto that authority that has been set over you. Praise God. But the Lord will have you shift into high gear. Praise God. I read all of that to you because I want you to begin to step out into the deep. Praise God, as I begin to step out into the deep in different areas in my life. Praise God. This last couple of days, I've had to make many decisions, and the decisions have not been easy. Praise God, but I want the will of God to be done in my life. I want to be where I can work for the Lord. I want to be where I can be obedient unto Him. I want to see souls won, saved, and delivered, and set free. Praise God, I'll tell you now what it's time for us to do. Praise God, and I'm going to tell you again the four things that I had to do. Praise God, before I could shift into high gear, I had to stomp. I had to stomp on the devil. Praise God, and I literally shook my hand and shook myself of everything that would try to hinder and hold me back. And I had to draw close to the Lord. Hallelujah. Then I had to resist the devil, because believe you me, the devil, praise God, he'll be right on your trail, but you've got power and you've got authority over him. You don't have to fear him. He needs to fear you. Praise God, because you're the one that's got the power. You can put him in his place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Philippians 3. Let's go to Philippians 3. Okay, Philippians 3, verse 13. I'm on the checker. Okay, here we go. 13 and 14. Excuse me. Okay. Let's read. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing do I, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Let us not, therefore, as many be perfect, but be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. I'm telling you, it's pressing time. Glory to God, we must press and do what the Lord wants us to do. And it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you might have to root up and move to another town, a new city, a new state, or just whatever the Lord is placing on your heart for you to go to that next level. For you, as yesterday's message was, to look beyond the storm that's going on right now in your life and to go into that new spiritual territory that the Lord has for you, this is what must happen. You have got to shift it in to high gear. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just as it was necessary according to the will of God for Jesus to be willing to be obedient even unto death, we must be willing to be obedient unto death. Just as it was necessary according to God's will for Jesus to be willing to walk the road of Calvary, you must be willing to walk along the road with him in obedience. This is not an easy thing to do, but we must be willing, even if it would cost us our very life. Are you willing to pick up your cross and follow him and step out and press in and go to that next level? And stop looking behind. Hallelujah. There's nothing back there, but we need to press every day. The only way we're to look back is to thank the Lord that we're not back there anymore. Praise God, even if it was victories, because he has new victories in our life. He don't want us to get stuck in the past, even on a victory that we had 10 years ago, and be satisfied with having that victory. He wants us to have a new victory every day. What are some of the goals that you have set for your life? Do you have goals set that you can shift into another gear? Or are you satisfied where you are right now? And I hope you're not satisfied. Glory to God, because there's always more in the Lord. Praise God. Paul told the Roman church, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. That was Romans 8, 16 and 17. Praise God. Ain't you glad that you're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. There is more. So there is more out there. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done? Yes, sometimes we do have to suffer, but I'm telling you, it's worth it all. Just think what we will gain for the little suffering that we go through here. People might talk about you. They might put you down. They might turn their back on you. But you can rest assured Jesus will never turn his back. And as long as he's with you, hallelujah, you got all you need. You got the best friend you could ever have. He's there at midnight. If you want to talk, he's ready to talk. His ear is open to the cry of his children. Hallelujah. And Paul told Timothy, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And that is 2 Timothy 2:11-12. He took the Roman church, know ye not, he told the Roman church, know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that likewise Christ was risen up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also shall we walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Glory, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now if ye be dead with Christ, ye believe ye also that ye shall live with him. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that was Romans 6:3-8 and verse 11. In these verses, Paul was speaking to us the outward manifestation of being baptized with Christ. Wherefore, we totally identify to the suffering, the death. When we consider ourselves to be dead to sin, where our old man and the selfish desires, the habits, the attitude is dead and buried. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ain't you glad about that? Praise God, that old selfishness, all those habits, the attitude, all that stuff is buried. Glory. The baptism into death takes place when we, as born again, the moment we surrender our life to God, repent, accept Jesus as our Savior. Praise God, the old man is nailed to the cross. Where many Christians fail to realize, however, this is the death. Is it a continual death? It is. Instead of recognizing the manifestation of the flesh as sin, repenting, of them depending on the Holy Spirit to overcome them. They ignore them. They reason that since they are dead to sin, there is nothing left in their life that needs to be crucified. And I'm telling you, that is not so. Paul goes on to say that because we consider ourselves to be sin and alive to God, we have the responsibility to not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies. It is not an automatic thing, but it's up to you and I. We must have that spiritual energy to know that we are responsible. Did you hear what I said? We are responsible for keeping sin out of our life. Jesus came and died on Calvary that you and I could have a right to the tree of life. Look what he did. He denied himself, picked up his cross, and went to Calvary for you and I. And he said, if any man is willing to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow me. And that is in Luke 9:23. This is something that we can't ignore. But we, as we're baptized, are in the likeness of his death. And on a day-to-day basis, in our everyday life, that we are raised together in the likeness of his resurrection. There are a few Christians today who really realize what that means to die to self. Because most people, it's about me, I, what I want, what I need. I'm telling you, when our life should be about, Lord, how can I help somebody else? Help me, Lord, to walk in the ways that you would have me to go. We have got to be willing to deny ourselves. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have got to press. If you want to go on to spiritual perfection, forgetting about those things which are behind and pressing towards those things which are before us. Even before on the earth was formed, Jesus gave all claim to his life. He did not choose to come on his own invention, but he was sent by God. He chose to be obedient unto God. He did not come on his own, but he came because the Father had sent him that he could be the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. That he would sacrifice his life for others that they could be saved. Think about that. How that he died for me when I wasn't very lovable. Praise God, he knows about you and I, praise God, before he went to Calvary, and he knew that we would be in need of a Savior. Hallelujah, therefore he did it for you and I, praise God. So I want to give him my all. I think he deserves that, don't you? Don't you think that? Just think about what he went through for you and I Glory to God. He wasn't made to do it, but he loved us so much that he did it. Praise God. And as we shifted up another gear, glory to God, we can press on to spiritual perfection. Hallelujah. You must be asking yourself right now, how can I get from this maturity to spiritual perfection? The same perfection as Jesus. In the above verse, the Apostle Paul, in the writings to the Philippians, is inspired them to intensify their desire and their own self after looking to the spiritual perfection. In these verses, there are five things that we should remember as you press on to spiritual perfection. I want you to listen to this. This is very important. I'm going to go through five different things here with you. You must set your mind on your goal. What is the goal that you have? Paul admits that he had not reached spiritual perfection, even in verse 12, as he told them, as they followed after him. Praise God, on pressing on, he had to set a goal to obtain this spiritual perfection that is possible in Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you can reach that spiritual plateau, that place you need to be in the spiritual realm, is only through Jesus. You can't reach it no other way. Hallelujah. It must be in by and through Jesus Christ is the only way. Praise God. The second thing, and I hope you remember these five things. Praise God, as you press on to spiritual perfection. Hallelujah. You must press on in hot pursuit. Hallelujah. To obtain your goal. Even as 14 said, Paul said, I press towards the mark. The Greek word for press means to press, to speed up earnestly. Hallelujah. So we got to press. We got to speed it up. We got to press in. We have got to do our part. Praise God. Paul encouraged the people to seek after, to run after it in hot pursuit. Glory to God. Use all your energy in pursuing the effort to pertain to spiritual perfection that you can have. Praise God. Just like it, even if you was an Olympic runner, you would have to press to win that gold medal. Just think far beyond that. Hallelujah. Glory. We're a runner. We're running a race. Praise God. And we're running that race for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Hallelujah. And you can reach it, but you got to go after it in hot pursuit. You got to speed it up. You got to press toward it. Praise God. You got to think about how I can get closer. Glory to God. How can I make it? Praise God. Glory to God. Got to press. Press, 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 press. The third thing, you have to concentrate on your goal. don't lose sight of the vision that you have set, because even in verse 13, put in this one thing that to obtain your goal, you have got to obtain spiritual perfection, to have singly minded acceptance, and will accept no distraction. Did you hear what I said? Hallelujah. You got to set your mind on that spiritual goal and don't allow anything to get your attention or your focus away from that. You got to be singling, looking straight towards it. Hallelujah. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But keep your eyes on Jesus at all times. Praise God. The fourth thing, you must forget about the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. The type of forgetting that Paul was meaning here is to be constantly celebrated, discounting, although including the past problems, past defeats, and even past victories, because sometimes we can get caught up in past victories, think, well, God did this back then, but what is God doing today? What is your focus on today? Is it on the past? Hallelujah. The past is the past. It ain't the present. It ain't the future. But we've got to take every day as it comes. Hallelujah. He knew that he would have not to look back, because if a runner looks back in a race, it will cause him to lose his speed. Think about that. And eventually he will lose the race itself. Why? Because he has spent his time on looking back. And another thing I want to tell you is that you cannot base your progress and your focus on somebody else's vision or their goals. You have to have your own. Hallelujah. You have to be led of the Lord. Praise God. And if you don't know what your vision or what your focus is, I encourage you to pray and seek the face of your Father and ask him what his will is for your life. Praise God that you'll get focused on that and that you won't look to anything else, and you won't get sidetracked in who's beside you or who's behind you or who's in front of you. It's about you and Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a personal thing. Praise God. The fifth thing, you must look forward to what is ahead of you. Paul was talking about in these verses here, reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards that. Are you pressing today? Hallelujah. Like a runner in a race, that last mile of the way. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's getting home time. We're on that last mile. Don't allow anything to distract you, to hinder, to hold you back, or cause you to lose your focus. But now is the time to shift it into high gear. Now is the time to put your all in it, that you can win the race that is set before you, looking to the author and the finisher of it, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Use every ounce of energy that you have looking forward. Glory to God. Don't allow nothing to hinder you back or hold you back, but you can have that ultimate victory, which is ahead. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's time of restoration. This is truly the day, and this is the hour that God intended for his people to press on in total victory in every, did you hear what I said? Every area of your life. You must give up whatever you think and press on to what you know that the Lord has called you. You must concentrate on it, pressing forward into new spiritual territory. It becomes even into a new position of spiritual maturity, a new spiritual wisdom, new understanding, new perfection, new power. You can do it. Hallelujah. This is the time of restoration. It is present time, church. Hallelujah. Read Romans 8:16-17. Glory to God, and you'll see how we need to press in these last days, because I'm telling you, time is winding up. Glory to God. And where will we be found? Where will we be found? Will we lose our victory because we're looking to everything in our life? We're looking with our natural eyes instead of looking beyond that. God wants his people to grow up into new spiritual maturity. I'm going to tell you again. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, spiritual perfection, and spiritual power. And truly, it is a time of restoration. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to Romans 8:35, and we're going to read down through 39. Let me turn there. Praise God, because I'm telling you, we have got to shift it into another gear. Glory to God, hallelujah, because Jesus is coming soon. We can't allow nothing to hinder or hold us back. Even our past failures, don't look at that, but look to what the Lord has for you right now. Hallelujah. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or fame, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword? It is written, for thy sake ye are killed all the day long. Ye are counted as sheep for the slaughter. 37, hallelujah. Listen, nay, in all things ye are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. Paul said, and I am persuaded, glory to God, that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, neither heights, nor depth, neither any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God, are you so determined that you're going to go forth, that you're not going to allow anything anymore to separate you from the Lord? Glory to God, because he's made it a way that you're more than a conqueror through him that loves us. And who is that? Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Praise God, we just got to be just as determined as Paul was here. I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Is your mind made up? Hallelujah. Have you set your goals and your sights on heaven? Hallelujah. And decided that nothing, hallelujah, nothing, I'm telling you, is worth going to hell over. Nothing, nobody, no thing, no money, no man, no woman, nothing is worth losing out with the Lord for. And now is the time that we need to get it together. And the Word told us to work while it is day. When night cometh, no man can work. So I'm determined right now that I want to press on. Do you want to press on? Hallelujah. Do you want to get what God has for you? Praise God, you can get it. Praise God, even in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34, you remember the woman with the issue of blood, how determined she was that she was going to get her healing. We need that, be that determined today. Because she said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know that I would be made whole. And I want to tell you, this is a woman that she spent everything she had. She went to every doctor around, and all they did was take her money. And she got worse and worse. So she made her mind up that she was going to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And I'm telling you, that wasn't easy for that lady, because they was oppressed all around him. They was people pressing and touching him all around. But when she reached down to touch the hem of his garment, think about it. In all that multitude, he looked around and he said, who touched me? And the woman raised up and she said, I did. His disciples said, how do you know that? Look at these people, they throng you. They're touching you everywhere. But he said, I felt the virtue go out. He know that that woman was looking for something. He know that she had a made-up mind. Hallelujah, no matter what it took, she was going to get her healing, and she got it. Glory to God, she went away, made whole, because she was determined. She pressed on beyond the odds of her touching her garment. Look around. If you've seen a multitude today and you've seen somebody in the middle, what do you think your odds would be about touching their garment? It would be hard to get there, wouldn't it? But if your mind's made up, you're going to do it. If you know that you know that you know, like she did, she had to reach out and touch Jesus. Hallelujah. In Mark 2, verse 3 through 5, there was a man that was sick of the palsy. And his friends were so determined to get him to Jesus that they couldn't get in the house where Jesus was. So you know what they did? They went up on the roof and they uncovered it and they peeled it back and they let his bed right down in the midst where Jesus was. And guess what? The sick of the palsy, hallelujah, one touch of Jesus, glory to God, he rose up, he took up his bed and walked.
Hallelujah. Why? People were so determined to get into Jesus. They knew that he couldn't get there himself because he was on his bed. But they was determined with him to get him there. Hallelujah. If you see somebody around you that's trying to press, help them. Do whatever it takes to help them get to Jesus. Glory to God. In Matthew 9 and verse 27, they was two blind men that was sitting by the wayside crying out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." Praise God, they knew if they could just get touched by Jesus that they would be made whole. Praise God, hallelujah. But you know what? The people around them, praise God, they said, "Hush, hush." Jesus said, "Bring him to me." Glory to God, he touched their eyes and they went away. They was healed. The same in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30 through 33. They was two blind men that was crying out. So, and the multitude, they rebuked them and told them to hold their peace. But the more they told them to hold their peace, the more they cried out. They knew they had to get Jesus' attention. Hallelujah. They said, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Glory to God. And Jesus had compassion on them. He touched their eyes and immediately they received their sight. Why? They was determined that nobody was going to shut them up. Have you been crying out to Jesus and people around you told you to hush? Praise God, I'm telling you, cry the more. Don't give up. Glory to God, whatever you need from God is waiting right before you. All you got to do is press into it. You can have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Remember the lesson last night. Look beyond your storm into new spiritual territory. And the message tonight was shift into high gear. Praise God. If you have to stomp, shake, glory to God. But you, one thing for sure, you've got to grow close to God. You've got to resist the devil, but first you got to be submitted unto God, because you're not going to be able to resist the devil, and he's sure not going to flee if God's not in your life. But if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Step out into the deep. Cut. Glory to God, wade on out there. Glory to God. You can reach that spiritual territory, that new place that God has for you in the spiritual realm, and be encouraged like Paul was. Hallelujah. He knew. He said, "I'm persuaded that nothing is going to separate me from the Lord." And you've got to have that same determination today. Praise God, hallelujah, because Paul said, "I'm more than a conqueror to him that loves me." So I'm telling you tonight, you're more than a conqueror to him that loves you, and his name is Christ Jesus. He loves you. He has something wonderful in store for you. So hold on. Let him have his way in your life. Glory to God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, as we receive your word tonight, glory to God, as we shift it into high gear, as we get our eyes focused on you, as we are forgetting the things which are behind us, and we're reaching and pressing to those things that you have before us, because they're higher heights and deeper depths, and we know we can get as close to you as we want to get. Lord God, help us this night. Lord God, encourage every listener. Bless them, Lord. God, that they can reach out, and God, that they can receive from you the things that you have in store for them. Lord God, I praise you and I thank you right now. Praise God, I thank you all for listening tonight. Hallelujah. This is Barbara Smith, the pastor of the King of Glory Ministry in Garrett, Kentucky. Glory to God. Be encouraged. Jesus loves you. He's there for you. He will help you. We love you. We'll be praying for you, and you be praying for us. God bless you. Have a wonderful night. Hallelujah. Jesus is for you. And if he be for you, who can be against you? Glory to God. Good night. God bless you.